This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The YWCA of Greater Cincinnati is dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity of all. As part of its mission, the YWCA is holding its annual Heart-to-Heart Racial Justice Breakfast on March 11th. Joining us to discuss the YWCA's programs and initiatives to fight racism and to preview the Heart-to-Heart Breakfast are YWCA of Greater Cincinnati President and CEO Charlene Ventura, Shaquila Ahmad, YWCA Racial Justice Committee Chair, and Lynn Watts, Inspiration Officer for Learn, Lead, and Live. Thanks to everybody for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
It's a great opportunity for us.
And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Charlene, tell me about the YWCA's history of fighting racism. From the timeline I've seen, it's a pretty extensive history.
Pretty impressive, isn't it? I love this opportunity to be able to talk about this part of our mission because I think we're better known for swimming pools and historically being in a hotel for women and the work we do for women, which is a very, very important on domestic violence, workforce readiness, as well as our Salute to Career Women of Achievement. But our racial justice history is so rich. I remember coming into the YWCA and learning it and feeling so awed by it. And actually, in the 30s, the YWCA fought for anti-lynching legislation in 1946, had an interracial charter. And I don't think people know this, but in the 50s, the YWCA cafeteria was the only place that blacks and whites could eat meat together during the civil unrest in the 50s when they had the mayor's friendly relations committee. So I think it's a incredible in history. And then in 1970, the national YWCA adopted as its one imperative the elimination of racism.
So you're not just an organization for activities and a place to go. It's about more than that.
No, not at all. I mean, we are. We do have a fitness center. But we do. The housing we have, though, is for domestic violence survivors, not really for people coming in from the rural areas to live in the city any longer. In 1975, the YWCA initiated the first citywide commemoration of Martin Luther King and really led the way to establish Martin Luther King's birthday as a state holiday. So I'm very proud of that history because I was involved in that. So we have, and as you just mentioned, we have our Heart-to-Heart Racial Justice Breakfast, which is March 11th, in the wrong month. And we have been doing this for 14 years, and it's a way for us to provide a safe place for people to come together to talk about race. And we initiated it with the Cincinnati Bar Association. And it's really kind of focused on CLEs, lawyers, but other individuals can come to it also. So we get a lot of tables from law firms. And we have usually pretty high-level speakers who are keynote speakers who are focused on major civil rights legislation or they have an impact on the civil rights movement or landmark civil rights cases. In the past, we've had Andrew Young, Julian Bond, Morris Dees. And this year we have Michelle Alexander, who wrote the book Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, and which has actually been on the New York bestseller list for 6 weeks. So I think her topic is very provocative and will really be a very interesting conversation.
Sounds like it will be. Shaquila, why did the YWCA form the Racial Justice Committee, and what kinds of things does it do?
Thank you. It is half of our mission. And as Charlene said, people sometimes don't realize. We all realize the equity inequities that are in society. So the Racial Justice Committee and the work that we do is very broad. Charlene talked about the heart-to-heart breakfast. But there are a number of things that we do to really initiate further the dialogue in order to eliminate racism, to have a real meaningful impact. And we began at home. We begin with our board, with a variety of really renowned civic leaders that come in for board education on issues of racial inclusion and diversity. We've had Dr. Ono come in most recently. The last few months, we've had the new CEO for the Freedom Center. We do book discussions between our board, our Career Women alumni, as well as our rising stars. And it's called What YWCA Women Are Reading, in order to really look at renowned authors, provocative but yet really thought-provoking literature that talks about racism from perspectives that we may not have. We also have an outstanding rising star or young professional women's leadership program that focuses on life-changing discussions so that leaders of the future are empowered and really in tune with what are the inequities that exist in society. And then Charlene talked about the heart-to-heart. And then I'm personally really excited about the fact that we're really getting ready to launch a very engaging corporate leadership and racial justice program called Beyond Diversity, where, you know, it's really designed to challenge conventional thinking about diversity and inclusion and provide a new framework to help attendees think differently about how to achieve their organizational goals. So, you know, informing, educating, but then empowering them to be successful in a racially diverse world that we live in.
Now, Lynn, tell me about your role with the YWCA.
Well, my role is exciting and unique and a privilege to be a part of the YWCA. You are sitting with two awesome women right here. And I joined the YWCA in partnership in about 2007 with a program that Shaquila talked about, the Young Women's Leadership Program. It's a part of the Rising Stars program. And it's designed actually to get young women that are leaders in our community prepared to serve on nonprofit and arts boards throughout the city of Cincinnati. And that's a pretty important function. And so these ladies that are chosen to be a part of this program, they go through a 5-month leadership program and they learn all kinds of things about governance of boards, how boards are structured financially, what your responsibilities are there, and women from the academy come in and speak. So they hear from all kinds of women that have made a mark in the city of Cincinnati. My part, I get to come in every month, which is awesome, and I get to talk with the women about the impact that they will make on these nonprofit boards because of the constituents that they will be representing. And a lot of the women in the program might not necessarily be aware of the situation in terms of the constituents that they're representing, and so I get the chance to engage them in interactive activities to help them understand three different areas. I'd like to look at it as, one, the makeup of Cincinnati, like what it looks like demographically in terms of the population, in terms of the judicial system, in terms of poverty, and then what that looks like in terms of the people that it affects. The second thing is, what does that mean to you as a potential leader in our community, a future leader in our community? And then the third thing is, what can you do about it? How can you be influential and impactful when you get on the boards that you're going to be representing these constituents at? And so we do that over a 5-month program, and it's very interactive, it's very experiential. And what we believe, and I believe with the Y, is that the women and myself and everyone, we have to learn how to lead ourselves first before we can lead other people. And we want these young women to be super impactful when they get on the boards. And so it's a great program to help women do that. And
Lynn teaches them how to be equity leaders. Mm-hmm. She spends 2 to 3 hours on really raising the issue of race and gender equity. And it's a pretty emotional as well as intellectual pursuit. I think many of these young women have said to me that it's literally changed their lives. And that part of it, the part that she teaches, the other parts are taught by Career Women of Achievement. So these women are paired with these incredible women who are leaders in our community that actually teach the other components. But Lynn teaches the piece on how really on racial justice and gender equity. So these women then go on to these boards, and it could be a corporate board as well as a nonprofit board, to really hopefully have that understanding and bring that awareness to that board. I mean, how many of us go on a board and we look around and I'm white and everybody is white? Or does anybody ask the question? And what are the issues that affect that board around equity issues? So that's what we're teaching these young women to bring to those leadership roles. And Lynn is incredible and has been instrumental in maybe really making a difference. And I think it's a great way for us to spread our mission to the future leaders, the future women leaders in our community.
And how many women have been involved and are involved in these programs?
Well, there's usually 40 in a class, and we've done it. This is our 6th year.
It's since 2007. Yeah. Yes.
So it's pretty impressive, and it just and their almost everyone that becomes a Rising Star becomes joins the leadership program. So these women are 25 to 40. So we're really grooming that next group of leaders, of especially women.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Charlene, what are some of the other programs and efforts the YWCA has that are aimed at issues of racial justice and gender equity?
Well, I think the gender equity piece is, YWCA's other part of our mission is to empower women. So we raised the issue of domestic violence in 1976 and created the first shelter for women. And now we have a shelter that serves 72 women in Hamilton County, 18 women in Claremont, Brown, and Adams County. So we also have a workforce development program. We have programs for young girls called Rosie's Girls, which is really used the moniker of Rosie the Riveter to teach them to be exposed to the trades.
That Rosie's Girls program, I have a couple of friends whose daughters have gone through that program, mm-hmm. and it's pretty impactful. What actually happens, and I went and watched one of the last programs, these young girls, and we're talking about girls that are in elementary school to junior high school, they learn construction trade. And that's a powerful industry, and not a lot of women are in that industry. And these young girls at that age come out and know how to wire lamps. They know how to build all kinds of things.
And they have fixed toilets.
Yes. It's amazing the things that they learn. And the support behind that program from other construction companies in the Cincinnati area is wonderful, because that's a great trade to have, to be able to do.
Do you hold regular programs in the schools for both girls and boys? Are you working with Cincinnati Public Schools?
Oh, yes. We do a lot of dating violence programs. And we also do programs on bullying in the schools. So our work extends the gamut in terms of helping girls and boys. And we also have a program for girls on trying to make them aware of the risk of breast cancer. We have it's called New Beginning program, where we teach them how to do breast examination. We also teach boys around testicular cancer, readiness, so they're aware of that. So we do a lot of programs that we could never even begin to touch on this show. One thing I did want to mention with the Heart to Heart Breakfast, we also recognize two local individuals for their accomplishments and what they do in the racial justice issues. And the people that we're recognizing this year are Al Gerenstein. I don't know if you know Al, but he's been a civil rights lawyer for 37 years in Cincinnati, and has really fought very hard as an advocate for African-American firefighters and police. And he was also the lead counsel for plaintiffs in the class action lawsuit that resulted in the collaborative agreement, a national model for police reform in this country. So he's quite an incredible person. Then we're also recognizing Pauline Strayhorn, who's been a powerful role model for young women of color. She was the first African-American woman to employed by major federal savings and loan back in the 50s, and she's a true pioneer and devoted herself to mentoring young women. She's also served on, Urban League Board, Chamber Board, and she's also a career YWCA Career Woman of Achievement, but has served as a treasurer of the YWCA of the USA for 11 years and served on our board in the 50s. Before I was at the YWCA, she was serving on our board, so we're honoring her this year. And we've done that through the years, too. We have really accumulated quite a list of very powerful people who have been recognized by us for their racial justice efforts.
Shaquila, and anybody else who wants to chime in on this, it seems that one of the common goals of the programs is creating an opportunity to talk about issues of diversity and issues of race and gender. How important is it to create that environment where open and honest discussion can take place?
That's an excellent point. And, when I was talking very quickly about the various programs that we do, is that you can't reach everyone. But what you want to do is to be able to inform and empower people within these key circles that we're talking about the issue that's there, and then also making it a safe place for those conversations where we have very diverse backgrounds that we bring. And the YWCA is probably the best organization I've run across that really focuses on intentional diversity, is that sometimes you really have to reach out there and include people of diverse backgrounds and ethnicities and even socioeconomic classes in order to have that meaningful dialogue addressing sometimes issues that could be very confrontational, but the way that we do it is really to educate and then make it a safe environment and allow people to be able to express their, viewpoints, but at the same time learn by listening and engaging in that conversation. So whether it's at the book discussions where we have various age, groups of women and various professions and backgrounds, they've been extremely rich. And what the program that I was talking about that we're in the process of, finalizing to launch, Beyond Diversity, for corporate and, leadership organizations in order to really have those significant conversations to be empowered and enlightened, we did a pilot program that really engaged two very diverse groups of people. And Lynn was part of that pilot program. And maybe she can just touch on, how important it is to have that safe environment, but yet be able to delve into really substantive racial issues that impact all of our lives.
Yes, and you're right. It's the environment is not only safe, it's an environment for people to learn and not perform. And I think that that's one of the differences that we make at the YWCA. And the program that Shaquila is talking about, the Beyond Diversity program, we piloted it with two very well-known organizations, the Lynx and the Junior League in Cincinnati, two very well-established organizations, two women. One organization, the Lynx, is primarily African-American, and the Junior League is primarily Caucasian women, and they came together for one day to help us pilot this particular program, and it turned out to be hugely successful. We're getting ready to roll it out, as Shaquila said, to other organizations that are interested, and the idea is this. There is not a person that's a racist. We are beyond that. There aren't people that are racist that are trying to hold us back, that are trying to do something. This is systemic. It's a systemic issue, and there are outcomes that are being generated that most of the time people are not aware that they have racial outcomes to policies that are going on in companies or procedures that are going on in companies, because they've just been going on for a long time, and it wasn't the intent, but that's what the outcome has been. And so it's an opportunity for these organizations to come in and look internally at their systems to see if the outcomes are actually falling out on racial lines unintentionally. And so we've had good success in the pilot, and we're looking forward to rolling it out.
So it's not so much a case of blatant acts of racism. It's more
correct.
Subtle.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
It's subtle, and sometimes not even – it's unintentional, not even exactly aware that that's what the outcome is, what's happening. A very quick kind of example of that would be if you have an attendance policy at work, a tardiness policy, I guess, is probably a better way to say it. And so folks are – you lose your job if you're tardy so many times, not understanding that if I'm relying on the public transportation system, sometimes I don't have any control, in fact, no control over whether I get somewhere on time. And when we've had such bad weather here recently and buses have been rerouted and things like that, somebody could unintentionally lose their job because of a tardiness policy, which it sounds good that we have this in place, but is it falling out on racial lines that the people that are affected are a particular class very unintentionally? So things like that. That's a really simple kind of example that I think most people can wrap their head around. But that's the kind of work that we're doing in this particular workshop.
Let's talk with Terry from Milford. Good afternoon, Terry.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question?
Marvelous. Earlier you mentioned that there are programs also for boys, and but the response was in the context had to do with bullying and then I think violence in relationships. And I was interested to know, are there any more positive things that the are trended towards the boys, because it just the way the question was answered, it almost sounded like boys are brought in with the intention of presenting them as victimizers and the women or the young women as victims.
Terry, thank you for your question.
Well, I think the goal or the mission of the YWCA is empowering women and eliminating racism. So most of our programs are focused on girls and young women and women. When we do work in the schools, we work with oftentimes with boys and girls, and we talk about teen dating violence, and that can go both ways. Girls can do that with each other, and we know that, and we have programs to address that. And we also have programs for children. We have the HIPPIE program, which is a program where we bring in people who work with to help the mother become the first teacher of the child around. It's a literacy program. We bring it into the home with home providers, and boys and girls are both part of that program. So we deal with boys in our daycare center. We deal with boys in our preschool programs, and we deal with boys in the public schools. But just remember that the mission of the YWCA is very focused on empowering women. So we do end up working with women and girls and young women.
Terry, your point, you know, that we don't want to lose sight of is that encouraging positive, healthy relationships is so crucial to whether you have a young person that's a female or a male, and that teaching those young people to be respectful of the, you know, the racial diversity that's around them, the diversity of ethnicity or whatever the case might be. And so a lot of these programs, even though they focus on empowering women and eliminating racism, anytime we have the opportunity to be educating for the family environment, it's very much focused on a positive, healthy environment and outlook and relationships between boys and girls.
And that is very true. I mean, our programs are based on promoting healthy relationships, and that infects boys as well as girls. In fact, we do have a Father's Day campaign where we do ask men to step forward and help us deal with domestic violence by signing an ad for the Enquirer and standing up. And oftentimes, as you might point out, men might feel marginalized, or they may feel, now how do they help in this fight against domestic violence? And we give them a role, and we're very welcoming and want that to be part. They have to be role models for their sons. They have to be role models for other men. So that's very important to us, and I'm glad you raised it.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me this afternoon.
Thank
Much
you.
Appreciated.
Thank you, Mike.
YWCA of Greater Cincinnati President and CEO Charlene Ventura, Shaquilla Ahmad, YWCA Racial Justice Committee Chair, and Lynn Watts, Inspiration Officer for Learn, Lead, Live. After the break, boosting Ohio's export business, and in about 20 minutes in Focus on Technology, Ann Thompson has a look at a fashionable alternative to the traditional bike helmet. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.